on Facebook, you know why I needed to rest afterwards, because I tore quite a few ligaments and stuff and needed to heal up. But we had fun, and we had fun at the cabin. We really didn't do anything. We just rested. And I'm going to tell you something about myself. I'm going to tell off on myself. I have a hard time resting. Is anybody around here like that? I really do. And I'm going to tell you, in the natural, so the title of this message is Rest and Receive. This is the message that I received when we were resting and trying to receive rest, is I found out in the natural I have a hard time resting. And every day I felt like, well, I got to be doing something. We got to do something. I got to go to work. We got to do something. And I just kept feeling the Holy Spirit saying, Mark, you need to chill, man. God talks like that. Chill out. Rest. You know, you need to just rest. And I was in the natural feeling like I had to do something, had to be doing something. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Mark, you do that in the spiritual as well. You don't receive my finished work, and you're all the time thinking you have to do something to earn my love and all that. And even though I'm not where I used to be when I first got saved, I'm still learning this. And it's ever revealing that the gospel is so good. It is too good to be true. It's finished. It's done. Everything he's done, everything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to add anything to it. And I'm just sitting there thinking about all this. And so the Lord began to, and I was studying some things, and the Lord began to show me some things about rest and how, as the body of Christ, we don't know how to rest in everything that God has done for us. And look at somebody and say, you need rest. You need to rest. And so we're going to start off, and I've just got three things that I want to give you today. So a three-point sermon today. How many of you are like me? You have a hard time resting. Okay, this message is gonna hit you right where you need to be hit at. But here's number one. And don't you like the hammock? I thought that was a good picture of rest. It makes me want to go to sleep too. It makes me want to take a nap. So here's number one. Rest is a throne attitude. Rest is a throne attitude. And you can write that down. I encourage you to take notes. That's why we print those bulletins. But Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 13 says this. It says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. This is what was happening in the Old Testament. Verse 12 says, but when this priest, talking about Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down. Everybody say, he sat down. At the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Now, I'm going to give you a little lesson here about what happened in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, if you'll ever study in the Old Testament about the tabernacle and the temple, there were no chairs in the tabernacle or in the temple. And the reason why is because the priest was not to rest. The priest was constantly offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. So no rest for the priest because their work was never finished. It was never finished. But then came Jesus, and Jesus is our high priest. And it says that whenever he went to the cross and made that ultimate sacrifice for us, Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. It's done. And here's the good thing about it. If you're a son, how many sons and daughters of God do we have in here? Amen. If you're not, you're going to be by the time you leave here today. This is a truth that you're going to have to get it from here to down here. We are seated with Christ, with Jesus, in heavenly places. You're here on this earth, but you're actually seated with Christ at the right hand of God. It's finished. You don't need to add anything to it. And so that's why you need to have a throne attitude. The rest is an attitude. It's a mindset that you need to have. Look at somebody and say, you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. All right. Now you need to say that to yourself. I am a daughter or a son of the Most High God. And you need to rest in that. And a lot of people can't even quote that to themselves because they don't believe it. They don't believe that I'm a daughter or a son of the Most High God. Yes, you are. That's the attitude that you've got to take. You are royalty. And you need to start walking in the earth like that and have that attitude. That you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And everybody said, So everybody got that? Rest is a throne attitude? Yes. All right. Now we're going to look at three different stories in Scripture. And they all happened on the Sabbath day. And this gives you a picture of this. And this is the truth that I want you to get. And it's number two. When you rest, He works. How many married couples you got in here? Got several in here this morning. Okay, how many of you? Well, I definitely got one over here. No, that one's married. How many of you are constantly trying to make your spouse what you think they ought to be? And it just wears you out. Oh, yeah. I've done it too. Mine's back in nursery, so don't tell her anything I said this morning. But what I have found out, when I shut my mouth and rest and just pray, and really not even pray for her, pray for myself, and just pray, God goes to work, and He works when I rest. But when I'm constantly trying to change my spouse into what I think they ought to be, it don't work. Look at somebody and say, it don't work. That don't work. But when you rest in who you're supposed to be, you be the best husband, or you be the best wife that you can be, and let the rest fall into place, and it will. So there's a little marriage teaching for you, marriage 101. I promise you, when you rest, He works. When you rest, God works. Now we're going to look at this in three different stories. First of all, is in John chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. It says, then Jesus said to him, this happened at the pool of Bethesda. It says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. This guy had been laying by this pool for 38 years. And here's the deal. I really believe this guy tried to get healed. I believe he did everything he needed to do. But he had given up. He was like, I can't do this. I'm just going to lay here for the rest of my life and hope I get better. And so that was where his mindset was at. He didn't have a thrown attitude. That was where his mindset was at. Jesus comes along after this guy's been laying there for 38 years and had given up, and Jesus says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked, and the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And there's a reason for that, because the name Sabbath means rest. And then we're going to jump down to verses 10 through 12. In verses 10 through 12, it says, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Can you believe that? Religious people. This guy had been laying there for 38 years, and all of a sudden they see them walking, and they tell him, hey, it's the day of rest. You can't do that. The law forbids you to get up and walk around. You need to lay back down. Verse 11 says, but he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And so they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk? Pick it up and walk. And so because Jesus, in verse 16 says, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Jesus was basically showing the religious leaders, when you rest, I work. On the day of rest, I work. And it is so, look at somebody and say, when you work, He rests. So when you're working and striving and seizing, God's not working. You have basically tied the hands of God. But whenever you rest, God can go to work then. And that was what was happening. And I was thinking about in verse 8, when Jesus said to him, I thought, God, why did, in verse 8, I'm going to go back. It says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And I was like, why didn't you just say, get up and walk? Why did you have to tell him to pick up his mat? And this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit said, because Mark, that was his rest. He needed to pick up his rest. He needed to learn how to rest in me. That was what he was resting with. He needed to learn how to rest in me. Okay, everybody see that? Yes. When you rest, He works. Now we're going to go to Luke 13. I'm going to show you this again. Luke 13, verses 10 through 16. It says, on a Sabbath, here we go again, on the day of rest, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. He was teaching in church like I am today. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. So here's another one. First guy, 38 years. This one, 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, He called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then He put His hands on her, laid hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Verse 14 says, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Here's these religious people again. The synagogue leader or the pastor said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days. Well, she'd been coming there all the time, and she still hadn't been healed. And he says, not on the Sabbath. And the Lord answered him. I love how Jesus has some good comebacks. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham or a daughter of the Most High God, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Jesus was basically telling guys, y'all treat animals better than you treat people. And there are people like that today. Treat animals better than you treat people. And so she was healed, and she was a daughter of the Most High God. Ready for another one? Okay, Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. This is the guy with the withered hand. It says, on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue or into church and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he could heal, if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. And then Jesus said to them, in verse 9, then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And he looked around at them, and then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. All three of them on a Sabbath, on a day of rest, Jesus healed every one of them. Did you know that Jesus still heals today? Yes. Jesus still heals today. I don't care what you're going through. It could be in your marriage. It could be health issue. It could be a relationship. It could be in your finances. When you rest, he works. When you rest, he works. Look at somebody and say, when you rest, he works. If you've never been around me, I like to make you repeat it until you get it. So here's number three, and I really wanted to start with this point, but I'm going to end with this point today. And here's number three. You've got to rest first. A lot of times we think we're going to put off rest until the last. You've got to learn how to rest now, right now. I'm going to explain this. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, and if you read the context of that Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about people that worry all the time. How many worry warts do we have in here? Okay. I see elbows flying around and fingers pointing. Jesus has a cure for worry. And here's the cure, and it's in Matthew 6, verse 33. And he says, if you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these other things will be given to you as well. All the things that you're concerned about, worried about, God will just work them all out the way they need to be worked out. Not the way you think they ought to be worked out, but the way God knows they need to be worked out for you. So Matthew 6:33 is the cure for worry. It's a cure for everything. You're going to have to learn how to rest first. Rest first. And I'm going to keep explaining this. Don't postpone rest. Don't postpone it. Don't put it off for another day. You need to learn how to rest today. Psalms 23, verse 5, we all know Psalms 23. But Jesus said, he didn't say, the Lord didn't say to David, and David didn't pen this, and he didn't say, in the absence of my enemies. He said, in the presence of my enemies, God sets a table for me. So even in the presence of your enemies, whatever you're going through today, whatever problem you're facing today, whatever giant you're facing today, you can have rest. But you need to learn how to rest first. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of what we all do, and I've done it myself, and the Lord was showing me this while we were having our little rest time, is I was trying to rest, but I was having a hard time doing it because I was thinking of all the stuff I needed to do. And God was saying, just rest. This time, right now, rest. All this other stuff's going to take care of itself. When you get back home, you know, but right now, rest. Right now, rest. Right now, shut off your brain. Right now, rest. So I had this mentality of I wasn't resting first, I was resting last. And I was saying this, I wrote down a few things that I was thinking of. I'll rest one day. one day I'll rest. When all this is taken care of, and I have this list, this to-do list, this and this and this and this, then I'll rest. No, you won't, because there'll be another to-do list of this and this and this and this. So you need to learn how to rest first. Rest now. When the kids are grown, I'll rest. Mine's grown. Mine's out of the house. I'm not resting. You know, here she is. Guys, you know, I can remember, I was sitting here thinking, I'm up here baptizing Adley, and I can remember doing that to Taya when she was five, and it went by like that. And so enjoy every moment of it. And what I mean by rest now, enjoy every moment of it. Enjoy everything that you're going to, you know, and I'm looking forward, and I'm not saying hurry this up, but I'm looking forward to being a grandpa. I'm looking forward, but right now I need to rest before that time comes. Rest now. That we say this, oh, when my career takes off, then I'll rest. No, you'll just be busier. You need to learn how to rest and enjoy the steps of getting your career going now. We always put off celebrating and enjoying life until this happens, until that happens. No, enjoy life right now, because one day you're going to wake up and it's all going to be over. You know, enjoy every moment of life. Enjoy every moment of it. Here's another one. When I get out of school, then I'll rest. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll go to work and get a job and learn how to rest even while you're going to school. When I retire, this is for my dad. When I retire, then I'll rest. No, you won't. No, you won't. There's some of you in here shaking your head already. Pop's back here shaking his head. Nope. When you retire, you're rest now. Learn how to enjoy life right now. When I start a new job, then I'll rest. No, you won't. You need to learn how to rest right now. Are you starting to get it a little bit? Rest. Yeah, Tay's over like, good grief, get another point. No, this is the point that I want to drive home, is you need to rest first. Rest now. Enjoy life now. Before whatever you're facing is resolved, learn how to rest now. Before the problem takes care of itself, rest now. Rest now. And everybody said? Has everybody got it? Okay, everybody resting?
Yes.
Okay, here's my sermon in a sentence. The day that you cease from working and striving and rest in the finished work of Christ is the day that you receive. And that's rest and receive. The day that you cease from working and striving and rest in the finished work of Christ is the day that you receive. Now, I want to give you a little something that you need to write down in your notes in closing today, and this is in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, and I just encourage you to go home and study this out for yourself. But because I was always, as I was preparing this, I'm already thinking, but God, your word says faith without works is dead. But you know, so you're telling me to rest, so what is the work that I need to do? Because I feel like I need to do something. And so here it is. I already heard it already. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, it's talking about the children of Israel in the Old Testament entering the promised land. And that, and I believe it was the Apostle Paul that wrote Hebrews, is that story in the Old Testament is a type and shadow for us in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, as believers, in which we all are here this morning. That is tells us how to enter God's rest, because God even says in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, he calls the promised land his rest. So what did the children of Israel, why didn't they enter it? Why couldn't they enter it? Because I want to learn from them. I want to learn from their mistakes, so to speak. And when you study that out in Hebrews 3 and in chapter 3 and chapter 4, it really wasn't, here's the deal. That they spent 40 years out in the wilderness wandering around with a slave mentality, and the Bible says it could have taken them 11 days to go into the promised land. It took them 40 years. God kept them out in the wilderness because of a slave mentality. They wanted to go back to Egypt, where they knew that they were going to get 3 square meals a day and all these kind of things. And it just, and you read it and you think, oh my gosh, guys, wake up. Get a clue. You know, renew your mind according to the word of God. Did you not see all the miracles that God just did in your life? And you can make this a short journey of 11 days and get into the promised land. And God began to speak to me and said, Mark, how long have you been going around the same mountain with some of the stuff you've been dealing with? A long time, many years. He said, it'd only take that long if you just renew your mind to what I'm trying to tell you to do. And you can get over there. And I was like, okay, God, then show me what I'm doing wrong. And so in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, there's two things that the children of Israel, it wasn't their shoes. It wasn't because they didn't have Nikes that they couldn't make that, you know, that journey. What it was, the Bible specifically points out, it was unbelief and disobedience. And did you know that still is going on today? The things that are keeping believers from their promised land or their place of rest is unbelief and disobedience. And if we'll just trust and obey, that's all. That's the work we've got to do, is believe Jesus and obey him in whatever he tells us to do, and we're going to have the promised land. But a lot of the reason why people don't have the promised land and whatever they're dealing with is because they won't trust God and they won't obey him. It's pretty quiet in here. And I'm telling you, if we would get trusting God and obeying God correct, we're going to have the promised land every day that we wake up. That's the work that we've got to do. That's the only work we got to do. That is, faith without works is dead, but faith with belief and obedience is going to produce the promised land in your life. And everybody said amen. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And this is for those that you came here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I said this earlier, you know, you don't know for sure that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and God wants to give you that inner witness through his Holy Spirit that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and it's just a prayer of salvation. It's a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer after me and with them, because we have people watching by Church's Aid, and also this will be going on the radio as well. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Okay. Then your very next step of obedience is doing exactly what Adley Bourne did today, and that is following the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that either now, or because the baptistry is full, or we can do it some other Sunday when you have your family here and everything. And so that's your next step of obedience, if that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer. But I'm going to be obedient to what I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to end with today, and then I'm going to speak. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us. And speak the blessing over us like I normally do. But I also want to say, if this fits you, then I want you to stay here, because I want to lay hands on you and pray for you, like Jesus did with the woman that had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years. He laid hands on her and she was healed. Because we believe as a church that God still heals today. And all we have to do is trust and obey. And Jesus has already paid that price for our healing. And we believe in the power of healing, and we believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when I was preparing this, and there was the three stories that I read to you, that when you rest, he works, and it was all done on a Sabbath. Every one of them was a Sabbath day, a day of rest. Is every one of them had to do with something in their body. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me that there was going to be somebody here today that was dealing with, like, the best way I could describe it would be arthritis, some kind of a pain, tense. Really, it was really arthritis. And so I would love to pray for you before we, you know, everybody leaves today. But I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us, because if that's you, you can come up here and we can pray up here. And, you know, very simple. I'm just going to lay hands on you and pray and agree with what God said, and I believe that you're going to be healed. Amen. Simple as that. So if that's you, I want you to come up here and I'll pray for you. All right. But other than that, let's all stand up. So if that's you and that applies to you, you can come up here and I'll pray for you before you leave today. But I do want to speak a blessing over you. We do this every Sunday. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Is everybody ready to go home and rest now? Did that word speak to anybody in here? Okay. You need to, and I'm preaching to myself and teaching myself today, you need to learn how to rest in God. There is nothing you can add to it. All you've got to do is trust and obey whatever he tells you to do. You got to trust his word, and then whatever he tells you specifically to do in a certain situation, you just got to be obedient to it. That's all you got to do. And that's faith. And everybody said, amen. All right. I'm going to speak this blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need special prayer, you can come up here and I'll pray for you. But shake somebody's hand, hug their neck, and say, you need to rest. Rest in the Lord. Amen. It's good to see everybody. Have a blessed week.